What's the word, y'all? This is Devontae. This is Reaper Motivation. Y'all now tuned in to the Reaper Motivation Podcast. And I did not flake on y'all, feel me? I was going to come back and do this one. I know I flaked on the 10 laws, but I definitely was going to make sure I got through with this book podcast. So this will be part two. And I just got back from Connecticut, hanging with the homies. I went to the Giants game. It was my birthday weekend. Had a real good time, but I was definitely hell-bent on coming back and finishing this because the last podcast, I feel like the last podcast is very important. I'm not going to lie. It was the beginning part of the book, and it was also the foundation of a lot of, you know, the principles and lessons that I learned and everything like that. But this part of the podcast is going to be... It's going to be, I don't want to say philosophical, but it's going to be a lot of stuff that's like really, like this is where I was giving game, like if I'm being honest. Now, I feel like planning and maybe planning was probably when I gave game in the beginning, but this is really, in mind and body, but this is really honestly like where I was giving game. Like marketability was when I started with that. And we're going to get right into it because I've been listening to some of my old podcasts and I ramble on for a little bit in the beginning. But getting right into it. So marketability. First off, what is marketability? So when I first started working on the shipyard, actually, scratch that. I'm going to go back even farther. So when I was in high school, if you knew me back when I was, let's say 13, 14, all the way up until about, I'd say maybe 16. Was that my junior year? That was my sophomore year. So up until I was about 16, maybe even 17, if you spoke to me, if you don't listen to rap, you might have understood maybe half of what the fuck I said. I spoke in slang for everything. Like, I sagged, I spoke in slang. I was just a little fucking ghetto bird, honestly. Like, everything I said was all over the fucking place. And, what made me stop that, and this is where I came up with the idea of marketability, and this is what helped me later on in life. I remember where I first started writing was, I've been writing for a while, but I was writing for the school newspaper, right? Now, I knew I was a good writer, and I knew I was, like, intelligent because I was in honors classes, all this other stuff. I always did really well on, like, standardized tests. Was never good at math, but, you know, I was sharp. I remember when I wrote in a school newspaper and I was telling people were making mad jokes about it. And I was like, as if like they thought I was too dumb to write a book. Like real life, like people, like before they read it, I remember one of my coaches was like, when I told him when I was like, hell, you know, I wrote an article in the newspaper. This motherfucker was like, yo, my name is Devontae and yo, you gotta do... And he started saying that shit. I was like, that's what y'all niggas think I sound like. I'm like, what the fuck? And he grabbed the paper and started reading with a smile on his face. And as he started reading, I saw the smile slowly go away. And like he gave it back like, damn, you actually, that's pretty good. I was like, y'all motherfuckers thought I was retarded. I was like, but here's where marketability comes in. The way you carry yourself is the way people perceive you. And we've been brought up on this idea, you know, don't judge a book by its cover. Don't judge a book by its cover. That's not the truth, right? Everyone is going to judge a book by its cover. That's the reason why covers are so important. When I started writing this book, when I was getting everything done, they were like, yo, you want to make a cover that grabs people. That's the reason why my cover had kind of like a real, like a kind of like a crazy cover to it. Like I wanted it to like grab people's attention. Like, yo, what the fuck is that? Covers are important, and your cover, your marketability is important. And I feel like we've been brought up into this idea that it doesn't matter. You know, everybody, just be yourself. And I want to touch on this, right? I'm going to say this when it comes to marketability. Cause especially in the black community, right? Because we have this, like, you know, people want to be able to wear dreads. And they think, you know, I heard a girl say that she has to whitewash herself to go to work. All y'all need to understand this. Everyone you see, everyone you see that is in corporate America plays the game. Everyone you see that's in trade, blue collar America, plays the game. You may not think they play the game, but they play the game. I'm gonna give you a case in point, right? If y'all saw Wolf on Wall Street, or fuck that, if y'all saw anything on Wolf on Wall Street, all them white dudes was crackheads. Straight up, all of them was straight degenerates. They drank, they smoked, they fucked hookers, they did all types of crazy stuff. Now I want you to ask yourself, Wall Street's seen as one of the most professional places in America, right? Do y'all think, even though they were white, do y'all think that they went into those offices, into those meetings and everything else, and acted the way they did when they got off work? No. No, they did not. White or not, they did not act like that. So when you have to change the way you speak, when you have to change the way you act, the way you carry yourself, the way you dress, that has nothing to do with your skin color. That has nothing to do with people trying to limit your expression of self. That has everything to do with there's a professional place and time. And I'm going to tell you something that a lot of people don't know. Everyone who is a CEO, a supervisor, a boss, they know. They know that's not who you are. They know good and damn well, because how you see them is not how they are. We all put on a AMS calls it a representative when we go to work, when we go on a date, when we do anything like that. When you go on a date with a girl, are you acting the way you do with your homies? I hope not, because, well, you know, if you do, I guarantee you're not getting no cheeks. We all put out a representative because we want to put our best foot forward. So when somebody comes up to you and they say certain things, like when they say you should shave or you should at least bundle up your hair or certain things like that. Now, don't get me wrong. Now, there's certain things, like somebody calling cornrows urban, I think it's some bullshit. If it's not going past my shoulders, you should shut the fuck up. That I'll give you. But there's a lot of things, and I'll see people, like I'll meet people who sag and shit like that, and I'll be like, man, you got to fix that shit when you're around. They like, man, you trying to kiss up to these white people. No, gang, it's marketability. You are limiting yourself, because I'm telling you right now, y'all limiting your options when y'all don't conform at work. I'm not saying that you need to go to your parents' house on Thanksgiving and say, thank you, mother, I appreciate this great meal. It is quite dubious, if I might say myself. Like, I would not say some shit like that. You know what I mean? You can be yourself when it's time to be yourself. But when you are in these marketplaces and when y'all are in these environments, you need to know how to play the game. Everyone plays the game. I don't know how many times I'm going to say that for this marketability shit, but everyone plays the game. And I'm telling you right now, even I've seen it in trades. I've seen it at restaurants. I've seen it now. I'm going to get into it more at the end. This doesn't mean to kiss ass, but I've seen it. Everyone plays the game. You need to know how to play the game. You need to know how. If you want to be successful, marketability, I think this is the longest chapter in the book. I'd have to look at it strongly to be able to tell you officially. But I'm almost positive this is the longest chapter. I know I worked on it longer than almost any other chapter. And this is the reason why. Marketability will fuck up everything else in this book, will fuck up everything else in your life if you don't learn how to master it. So, I touched on a lot of stuff in this chapter. So, number one, the biggest thing about marketability is being likable, right? Now, what do I mean by likable? Now, I'm pretty sure everybody's heard the saying, it's not what you know, it's who you know. That's a fact. That's a true statement, and that's a good statement. However, they should have added, it's not what you know, it's who likes you. Because I'm going to be honest with you, if 80%, fuck it, not even 80, if 50% of people you know can't stand you, 60%, if they can't fucking stand you, you will have a hard time doing anything. And this is not even just for superiors, this is for peers, all that. And here's what I mean. There's a lot of people who I've met and who I know that like to identify as a dickhead or an asshole, right? And they take pride in thinking that people think they're assholes. I'm going to tell you this right now. You're going to create unnecessary enemies. I'm going to put it like this, right? When I was on the yard, like I said, I was going to get stories with all these. When I was on the yard, there was a supervisor that I had. I spoke about him in other podcasts. And I bring him up a lot because he's like the example of what not to be as a man. Like, he's the goofiest man I've ever met. But anyhow, he was so disliked. We had like there was this thing that they do on shipyards with cables. They call packing called MCTs. They basically cable transits where cables on the ship go through. And they're sealed off so that they're watertight. So if, say, a space floods on a boat, it can't pass through that transit and flood the other room next to it, right? They got it for different reasons. But anyhow, it's a tedious, annoying-ass job, I'll say the least. Like, it's really annoying to do. You use these blocks, and I'm not going to get into it, but it's annoying. Most of the crew knew how to pack transits. I knew how to pack transits. He got tasked with it, you know, and he was like, hey, does anyone know how to do transits? They want me to be in charge of it. We all played stupid. I don't know. Because we didn't fucking like him. I'm like, who? No one's going to go through all that trouble and get all dirty and go through all that bullshit to help you out. Fuck you. Those transits were like a part of, he got cursed out in like 2-3 meetings. He'd even come back and tell us. He was a real emotional dude. He got kind of yelled at in a bunch of meetings because he wasn't getting the transit done, because there was only one person that owned up to knowing it, and he can't do all them shits by his fucking self. He was asked for transfers, all types of stuff, and we just watch him struggle, man. Fuck him. He ain't fuck him. Oh well, be mad, bro. That is marketability. So if you are disliked, there'll be a time, and let's flip it. I go to Marine Corps. There's a lot of times I've seen corporals who are, and if you don't know what a corporal is, that's like E4, such like the fourth rank in the Marine Corps. They're like, I'd say like floor supervisors, if you want to like classify what they were. They're like floor supervisors. I've seen corporals who are dickheads. And then, lo and behold, one of those lances becomes a corporal. Now you got beef with another corporal because we're on the same playing field. I've seen that corporal still be a corporal, and one of those lances that couldn't stand him, now he's a sergeant. Oops. There's a possibility that whoever you're berating, whoever you're pissing off, could one day be ahead of you. It's not good, is it? You never know. So you're creating enemies off the sake of what? What do you create enemies for? And this is why with mind and body, I mentioned those therapeutic releases. If you have a therapeutic release, I wholeheartedly believe you will not be a dickhead. You don't have a reason to. What do you have a reason to go around being extra sarcastic or extra rude or just doing dumb shit to fuck with people for if you have a therapeutic release? The only people that do that are people who are miserable inside or are bored. You won't have any of those issues if you have a therapeutic release because it takes up your time. So if you're bored or your life is boring, you will be a dickhead. And if you're on your purpose, which is the point of this book and the point of this podcast, if you're not looking to be busy most of your time, this is the wrong channel and the wrong book for you. Because I'm only talking to motherfuckers that's goal-oriented. So if you're goal-oriented and you have a therapeutic release, which is normally a hobby or something like that, you're not going to be bored and you're not going to be angry. So if you have those, you won't have to be a dickhead. But these people that decide to be, now you're creating a bunch of enemies. And you'll never know. And here's the thing. I also feel like people take lightly how affected being disliked can affect you. And I feel like everyone sees the consequences of it, but no one really pays attention. Now, this is not me saying that you need to be smiley and all this other shit. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is don't create unwarranted rifts. What I touched on in the chapter, things like as simple as stop being sarcastic with people who you don't know. Now, if you're a sarcastic person with your homies, I actually don't know too many real sarcastic people with a lot of friends, but maybe that's why. But anyhow, if you're real sarcastic, if you do have friends, because like I said, I don't know, like the people who I could think of off the top of my head that were real big on sarcasm, they didn't really have any friends. Like when I spoke to, like if I ever talked to them about their personal life, they was like, yeah, I don't really have any friends. Like they... No one wants to be around that shit. No one likes sarcastic dickheads. But if you are, you do that with people who already like you. If I don't fucking know you, you're, let's say this is a good example. Let's say I come up to you and say, hey, do you have a pen? All right, like we're in a class or something like that. I'm like, hey, do you have a pen? And you say some shit like, no, why would I have a pen where we should have pens at? Automatically, I'm like, fuck you. Like, after that, gang, like, I don't even fucking know you, but, like, if now, let's fast forward. Let's say you're having trouble with a test, like, right? You like, hey, bro, can you help me with this? I'm like, hell no, nigga, fuck you. I'm not gonna say that. But I'm like, ah, oh, man, I can't really, man, I'm busy. Because I remember that fuck shit you did. I already didn't like you. That's sarcastic. I would say, especially now, I don't know what it is. Well, I do know what it is, and I was gonna touch on this too. People have such an issue with just verbal communication. This is another part of marketability. This is why this chapter was so long, right? Being sarcastic, but also just knowing how to talk to people, right? And this is a skill that's being lost because I would say, well, funny enough, a little side note, I just found out I'm not a millennial, I'm Generation Z, which bugged me the fuck out because this whole time I thought I was a millennial, but apparently millennials stopped at 94, but anyhow. So for millennials, Gen Z, and is the generation now Y? I don't really know. If anybody knows, throw that shit in the comments or something. But like the millennials, Gen Z, and I think Y, we do have a huge problem with socializing. The people that are good at socializing, the people that are charismatic, are winning beyond belief. This is why we have creators. And these rich ass creators. Now, there's a lot of creators that just get popular for doing dumb shit. But as far as the ones that come around and stick around for a long time, right? The Stephis Codes, the AMSs, the Kevin Samuels, like that. You can go. The list goes on and on and on. All of them are charismatic and they have personalities and they can socialize, and people like to hear that, right? So if that is a skill that's being lost, mainly because no one knows how to converse amongst each other. You have to be able to talk. So that means stop the sarcastic dumb shit. I'm going to always mention that first. That seems to be like the one thing that I noticed, especially with incels and introverts. They have the hugest problem with that sarcasm shit. I don't know whether they think it's funny or whether somebody told them that was funny. I don't know. But that's a big one. The sarcasm. Also being able to listen. Not everything someone says deserves a rebuttal. Sometimes it is way better just to sit there and listen, and every now and again you give, you know, oh wow, or yeah, that's like, just throw something out there. You know, you don't want to just be staring at them with a blank face. But listen to people. Stop cutting people off. Don't overtalk people. Little simple things like that. These are things that like you really should learn in fucking high school. But like I said, like these are so, we have such a hard time in recourse, and we have such a hard time in like just talking to people because, for one, we don't socialize like that. We stay in, and then this pandemic's made it 10 times worse. I don't know about y'all. Like, I'm one of those people, I do enjoy, I won't say clubs, I do enjoy lounges and like occasionally a club. I mean, every now and again. But I do like going out, listening to music, getting drinks, and having a good time. Post-COVID, bro, it is the weirdest experience. I'm talking about motherfuckers at a bar with a drink, some food, and their AirPods in watching a fucking movie. I'm like, gang, you could have stayed the fuck home, gang. You could have stayed your stupid ass home. Like, it is the weirdest. No one socializes on anything. No one dances anymore. You know what's crazy? I was listening to AMS earlier, and he was talking about how back in the day, how you would go to a club and everybody be on the dance floor and you'll come up behind a girl. Some girls start dancing, some girls wouldn't. And I was like, yo, that was us in high school. You would go into a party, it's a house party, some shit. Girls would be dancing, having a good time, yada, yada, yada. And you'll come up and you might get numbers. Just, it was more social. You go to a club now, it is the most awkward shit. It's like either people not having fun or people trying to look like they're having fun. Not actually having any fun. or people just outright just looking uncomfortable. Like, I can't tell you how many times I go to a club and they just, people just looking like fucking weirdos. I'm like, bro, it is, like, post-COVID has destroyed all social skills among my generation, the one above me and the one under me. It's ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? And marketability in the next chapter actually is breaking that social cell, that social shell. Damn, tongue twister. But you know, marketability is something that you have to learn how to become. You have to learn how to possess extroverted qualities. I'm not saying you have to be an outright extrovert, but you need to have those qualities in order to converse and be around people. You know what I mean? And another thing that goes with that is how you look. I don't know why. I really have no clue, like, when or, like, I just feel like there was, like, a summit of dudes that one day was like, we're going to dress like bums. It is cool. Like, I don't know what the fuck. Like, if you mention fashion to a man now, it's like you just threaten his mother. Like, they look like fashion. Why would I care what I wear? I need a haircut? You want me to shower? The fuck is wrong with you? Like, it's crazy to me. Like, bro, how you carry yourself. And I think, and I see this meme all the time where they're like, rich people don't dress rich. And they'll show, like, Steve Jobs or some shit or Mark Zuckerberg. Let me break this down to y'all, bro. When you're at the level of a Mark Zuckerberg or Elon Musk or some shit like that, yes, you don't have to dress super up. You know why? Because they're already fucking billionaires. Who do they need to impress? Who do they need? Who does a billionaire need to impress? It does not matter. And now, albeit, there are, and I want to mention this too, it's also personal preference. There's billionaires in Saudi Arabia and in, what is it, Dubai, that walk around with 100 gold chains and a fucking tiger. So not everybody's going to be as, what's the word? Not everybody's going to be as frugal with their money. I think that's the right word to use. You know what I mean? Not everyone's going to be like that. Some people will, some people won't. But if you're trying to, if you're not already in that position, and I want to make this clear too, that like most people that are billionaires, is it skill? Yes. Is it work ethic? Yes. But there also is a good amount of luck that comes into that also. Maybe, if you wanted to say, I would say maybe 20% to 30% of that is luck. Because I'm pretty sure there's hundreds of people that had the same idea that Mark Zuckerberg had or the same idea that Bill Gates had, but didn't have the same support system or backing that they had or the same environment or there's a bunch of factors that goes into it. But for the most part, you will not be them. And for the most part, you're going to have to, at some point in your life, impress people. Because that is a part of being in the workforce, just being a human in general. So, if you are a dude, you need to have haircuts. I don't know, bro, I've met dudes who like, say they get a haircut once every, like, 3 months. The shit is fucking ridiculous. You need to cut your fucking hair. You need to wash your face. You need to wipe your ass. Like, I'm talking about, there's a dude that I work with now. I swear to God, I don't think he showers. 7:30 in the morning, this man smells like he just finished doing the most hellacious workout of all time. It's cold outside, gang. How you stink? How, Sway? It's 60-something degrees out here. You smell like armpit at 7:30 in the morning, gang. And he complains about not having holes. I'm in here by myself and I'm getting worked up. This shit's ridiculous. Like, I don't understand why people are so, some people, I don't know why men are so against taking care of themselves. Now look, everyone's idea of self-care is a little bit different. Me personally, and this may, after saying all that, this may rub some people, I don't do the mani-pedi shit. It's not a thing that I think is girly, no shit like that. I don't, for one, I don't give no fucks about my nails. Two, as active as I am, and as much as between fighting and lifting and fucking with these generators and changing oil and all this other stuff, I'm going to, whatever I get done to my hands or my feet will be fucked up in a day. I'm going to pay $50 plus a tip to just have the shit not even look like I did anything in a day and a half for the sake of I don't even know what. Like, I'm not even gonna have this shit long enough for anybody to notice it. So I guess I'm doing it for myself. I'm gonna take 30, 40 minutes out of my day that I could have been training or learning or doing something else that I like to do that, I'm not doing that shit. Now, if someone paid for it, sure, whatever. If I had nothing else to do, but yeah. But that being said, that is like more on the other side of self-care, but definitely, I don't think nobody's going to argue with me about washing yourself, washing your face. I just came up with a new skincare regimen. I might actually post that up on my YouTube because it's been working pretty well. But just doing little simple things, and you have to just add, you need to take pride in how you dress and how you carry yourself. You need to have decent looking shoes. Now, I'm not saying if you was to go to like my Instagram or if you was to go out with me one day, yes, I do dress up a lot. I've always liked clothes. I just never had the money to really be as fashionable as I wanted to. But now that I'm older and I could do what I want and buy what I want, like, you know what I mean? You're not going to ask. Well, I couldn't ask my parents for no $300 fucking shoes. Like, it just wasn't going to, like, now I could do the shit like that. But, you know, you don't have to be super flamboyant or ostentatious about the shit, but you do need to have decent clothes. You need decent looking shoes. You need decent fitting fucking shirts. I'm sick of seeing you motherfuckers out here with these 3X's, gang. You not Young Jeezy in 06. You not the Snowman, nigga. Stop that. Stop wearing them big ass fucking shirts. Chill your goofy ass out. I did it back in the day. I know. Somebody gonna go on my Instagram right now and be like, yo, was this you? Yeah, it was. When I was 15 years old. I'm a grown ass man. I know how to buy clothes that fit me. God damn it. Shit's ridiculous. And no. Somebody gonna be like, well, some of you should be tight. Tight looks better than fucking super baggy, especially if you work out. So just taking pride in how you look and understand that the moment you walk into and this is another thing, you need to have suits. You need to have two suits at the ready at all times as a man. At the ready. I'm talking about as soon as, like, if I hit you up like, yo, gang, I'm meeting up with these dudes, man. I'm trying to sell this book, bro. I'm trying to advertise my business at this meeting, bro. Wear your best clothes. You should be like, I got you. And you should throw on a suit in a minute and be able to be out. There's a lot of motherfuckers who don't own suits. Niggas who don't own suits go on job interviews and be like,
they didn't get me because I was racist. Because they racist, bro. They didn't get me because they racist, bro. That's crazy. I bet you if I was white,
I bet you had a fucking suit that would have took you seriously. I remember I did an interview when I got laid off early in the year, and the dude, I shit you not, hand across my heart, swear to God, the dude literally said, he said, you know, just looking at how you carry yourself and how you dress, I know your parents raised a good young man. And no, he wasn't black. He was an old white dude. How you carry yourself matters, bro. You need to have decent clothes. That's in the workforce. That's outside the workforce. How y'all motherfuckers are approaching women, if you are approaching women, smelling like armpit, wearing 3X fucking shirts and some dusty ass fucking Skechers is crazy. Yeah, I think I'm exaggerating, but look, next time you go to Walmart, look around. Look at like every other dude that walked by. Look like they just got out of the fucking dumpster. If you gave that nigga a little cardboard box with a sign that says help me on it and sat him on the side of I-95, they'd be like, damn, bro doing bad. He would fit right the fucking. Y'all need to take care of yourselves. And what I'm saying is that, again, I don't want to hear about no billionaires. You're not a billionaire, are you? Wall Street people, executives, they all dress. If you look at Shark Tank, how does everyone that come on Shark Tank dress? Are they coming to Shark Tank wearing some fucking sweats? No. People that go on these interviews, people that you look at the Wolf of Wall Street, you look at how everybody looked, you look at Casino, you look at how everybody looked inside that casino with Robert De Niro and Joe Pesci. You look at how they carried themselves. They carried themselves like fucking men. They dressed a lot better. They took care of themselves because it was important how they were perceived. The Godfather. You name it. I can name so many movies off the top of my head where people dressed the part because they understood that's what it took. And again, Everyone plays the game. You are not special. Everyone does it. Everyone has to do it. The people who don't do it don't get far. And I'm going to say this, right? And I actually put this in the book, but I'm going to say this on the podcast because I need to emphasize this. You can be mad at the bottom of the... Like, look, when you get to the point where you're a CEO or something like that, then you can be more lenient on how people carry themselves. That's fine. That's fine. That's cool. You know what I mean? You do that. But would you rather be at the top making real changes or be at the bottom of the totem pole waving an angry fist and hoping that somebody cares enough to change something? And until you get to that point, play the game. Make the sacrifice and put in the effort. You got to. You are not special. People have done it before you. People will do it after you. People have done it. People going to do it 10 years from now. People did it 10 years before now. People did it 100 years before now. People will do it 100 years later. It'll always be there. Presentation is key. Presentation is key. So you need to learn how to just find that happy medium. And another thing I want to touch on, which is I touched on it in this chapter, is what I meant by this being such a long chapter. Masculine frame. Now, I actually didn't go super deep into this in the book. I think I probably put one page about it. And I did talk about this in, I don't remember what podcast it was before this. I thought about it at some point. But I will say masculine frame is one of the most underrated. We're kind of taught as kids, as men in America, to be these like circus clowns. Like we're supposed to be jumping and skipping and entertaining people and being this jokester. What's that shit?
Oh, they just gonna fuck me. I make girls laugh, you know. That's how I get girls. I make them laugh.
We act like fucking clowns. And I'm gonna say this. And this is the reason why I say a lot of this will. Well, the next, I think, isn't that chapter? Deadliest Possible? I think it is. No, this is 5, 6 is social cell. Anyhow, you having a masculine frame, even if you carry yourself properly, right? Even if you wear decent fitting clothes and nice clothes, let's say you speak well, you can articulate yourself, you can finish complete fucking sentences, let's say people like you. But if you're a goofball, they still won't take you seriously. You need to learn how to develop a masculine frame. I'm not saying you need to walk around like Batman and no shit like that. You don't smile, you just pop up behind motherfuckers and say hello. Like, nah, I'm not saying that. What I am saying is you need to control yourself. All that giggling, all that joking, all that fucking, hey, hi guys, how y'all doing today? Like, all that shit gotta fucking go. You need to learn how to properly articulate yourself and be masculine. And people will take you much differently. And this applies to everything. I got a dating chapter in this book. I know I always got to touch on dating at least once. You know what I'm saying? People like hearing me talk about it. So that's, part of the reason why you do it so much. But I got a dating chapter in this. A lot of the struggles you have with women is because of your masculine frame. Funny enough, this is a little side tangent. And I know this isn't the dating part, but I'm going to mention this anyway. When I started developing my masculine frame, right, and my masculine frame, I was still pretty goofy. I mean, I still am goofy now. I do little goofy shit, but like when I'm out and around women and shit like that and people, I cut that shit out. But my first step to masculine frame, I just started being more quiet. I'm normally more reserved anyway. I've gotten girls off of just shutting the fuck up. Especially ones that were really attracted to me. Like, there were women who used to be super attracted to me, and I'll do some shit, and I could just see all the attraction leave their face. Like, they just, like, they'll think I'm cute, and they'll like, my muscles and shit, and they'll get around me and be like, oh, this nigga's a goofball. When I learned how to just shut the fuck up, I'd be quiet, and it's like they're getting more excited that I'm shutting up. The shoe used to be fucking crazy. Now, I'm not saying to be super quiet. Like, I talked, obviously, but just I'm not as talkative and not blabbermouth and things like that. You need to develop that masculine frame. That is a part of the marketability. And that is important. So, yeah. I spent fucking 35 minutes on chapter 5. I knew that was going to be a long one. That's the reason why I made this a separate podcast. But, you know, I feel like that was an important, like, I think that's the reason why I made that such a long podcast, is I really wanted to get that across. You, when you decide you want to put your goals first and you want to be this goal-oriented hustler, you are now a brand. Remember that. You are now a brand. You are effectively, you're no longer whatever your first and last name is. You are a brand. Think of yourself the way you think of McDonald's or Apple or Walmart or whatever else. You are now a brand. And you need to act like it. Now, the chapter after this was breaking the social cell. I do got a story for this. So, part of the way how I broke my social cell, I know I'm saying that wrong, the damn tongue twister. But anyhow, part of the way I did mine and the way I got used to it and I started developing extroverted qualities, it took me a minute. I'm not going to lie. I was kind of like, especially in social events, I used to be, God, I got so many cringy, awkward fucking stories. And when I first started going out and going to parties and shit, it's ridiculous. But what helped me a lot, and I actually recommend this to you if you are very introverted, I got a job as a salesman very, very early in life. Not very, very early. But I got a job as a salesman my senior year in high school. I'm trying to put into words how useful it is. I feel like everyone at some point in time should have to be a salesman. Right, me having to go in people's faces and smile and talk and try to not befriend them, but get them to like me enough to listen to what the fuck I got to say, and then to sell a product it's a vulnerable ass moment, because anyone who's in sales will tell you some people just turn their fucking head, get the fuck out my face. They may not say that. Well, some people do, but they may not say that, but they'll just be like, you know, just turn their back on you. Some people will, in the middle of you selling your shit, they'll be like, all right, go ahead. Get the fuck on, bro. I'm good. And you just got to take that. It's a vulnerable-ass moment, but it's a learning moment. It'll also help you become more sociable, and it makes you more comfortable with recourse. I can't tell you how good I was at talking to people after I became a salesman, because it was just normal. I did the shit all day, and I needed to do it because, hey, look, when the difference between you making sales is whether you eating fucking sardines that week, or you eating I don't know what's a fancy, you eating Tetas de Brazil, your ass gonna make some sales, because that was the difference. I'm talking about when I was at GNC and I was working in sales. I don't know how much towards sales it is now, but back in the day, GNC was all about sales. I'm talking about that shit I used to come in that bitch and if I was hitting that week, it'd be an extra $200-$300 on my check. Facts, like that. So it was a really good experience. But I understand some people are in their careers, and you know, you might not be able to do sales. So another thing I started doing, which helped me a lot, was when I got to college after working in sales, is I just started making random conversations. Right, I remember I would ride the bus to college. Not the bus, ride the train to college. And anyone who's ever ridden the trains up north, like Connecticut, New Jersey, New York, there's someone, I don't think I've ever got on the bus and seen the same person twice. Like, there's always new people on the bus. You can make conversations, and I would just do it with any. I get to the bus station. If I bought tickets from the actual little people, I make a small conversation with her. How's your day going? Some people talk, some people don't. You get on the bus. Sit next to the girl. Hey, I like those shoes. Where you get them from? Oh, I got them from Zara. Where you fuck with Zara heavy? I like it sometimes. You said that don't sound like you liked it too much. I mean, what's your normal spot? Oh, my normal spot. Boom, right there. Now you in a conversation. It gets you comfortable with starting recourse. Like, little things like that gets you so much more comfortable with talking to people. So you need to, like, things like that. And you could do that anytime. Like, right now, in the midst of me doing all this work and working out and writing books and shit like that, I'm not dating actively. But I know if I'm not dating actively, I'm going to lose those skills. So when I go out, I make it a concerted effort to make sure I talk to people, and I'm talking to not even just women, just whoever. Like, I'm just making conversations with people. I'm being social, so I keep my social skills on par. So when I do get back to dating, right, probably next year, I told myself I was going to take off about a year, so it's been about, how long has it been now? Like 5 months, yeah. I told myself when I get back in the game for real, you know, I wanted to make sure my skills were on point. There's no point in me doing all this fucking extra self-improvement shit, and I get back and I can't even hold a conversation. So there's that. But doing those things will help you a lot. So just going out, speaking, having starting random conversations and all that other stuff, that'll help you a lot when it comes into developing your social skills. And you're going to need that for marketability. Yep. And just, you know, just becoming comfortable being vulnerable. Not everybody's going to like you. That's just a fact. I'm telling you right now, there's a plenty of times where I did that shit and someone looked at me like I had four eyes and an extra head. It is what it is. You know, you take those L's. You know what I mean? And there's other times where I've tried to speak to people. And I think one time, a girl flat out was like, "Why are you talking to me?" Loud as a bitch, just like that too. Loud as a month. I'm like, all right, never mind. Yo, fat ass, fuck you, goddamn beer cat built bitch. Anyhow, I'm getting off topic. but yeah, like it just it happens, gang. That's just a part of recourse. But you need to be vulnerable. You need to be comfortable being vulnerable, and that will help you in your marketability. So, damn, I was not expected to spend that long on those two chapters. That is really crazy. And the chapter after that so happens to be being as deadly as possible, which is a whole nother long ass topic. And then after that is dating. So what I think I'm going to do is this is probably going to be a few parts to this podcast. I'm not even going to lie to y'all. But yeah, so I'm going to cut this podcast here. So next podcast is going to be about being as deadly as possible in dating. I know that does not go well together. I'm going to try to fish that together best I can. It is kind of a weird mix. But, yeah. So, those are going to be the two. Both of them are very important. I'm glad that I spent this long on this one topic, though, because, like I said, this is the longest chapter in the book, or one of the longest chapters in the book, and it's very, very important. Because marketability, honestly, bro, I'm talking about, like, just looking at my table of contents, like, your turning point, right? Well, probably doesn't apply to that. But your capital goal, if you want to accomplish a capital goal such as, like, financial freedom, something like that, you're going to need marketability, right? Some of these other ones, dating, you need marketability. Friends and family, marketability. Conflict and leadership, marketability. Competition, free thought, everything. Like, you're going to need... you're going to need marketability. So if you don't have marketability, you're just setting yourself up for failure. And you need to try. I don't know why. And this is another thing. People now are proud of the fact that they have no fucking social skills. People are proud of it. Set themselves up for failure and they're happy about the shit. Yep. I don't like talking to people like that. I just stay in the house. You know, don't invite me out. I'm going to stay in here. And stare at the wall, you know, talk to my cat. Weird as a bitch. I just don't understand it. And again, another thing with marketability, dating. If you don't have any marketability and you cannot make friends, well, you know what? Hold on. I'm going to save this for when I get to the dating part because this is where that comes in. So anyhow, I'm going to leave that alone. This has to end it. I appreciate you guys for tuning in, man. I appreciate the love. I'm going to start doing these more often. I got a lot of content. I mean, a lot of content. I actually might do a separate podcast, separate from the book, in between this one and the dating one, because I need to hit this. I got to talk about this whole bad boy thing with DJ Academics and, was it Reginae Carter? Yeah, I got to touch on that, because I got to. But yeah, man, I appreciate y'all listening, man. This is Devontae. This is Reba Training. Y'all enjoy the rest of y'all day or the rest of y'all night, whenever y'all heard this. And we don't chase dreams, we hunt goals. Get Back Gang is in full effect. We out here. If you have not already, go out there. Get Tenacious Rose, Depressing Triumph. Now available on Amazon. It's $9.99 for the hardcover, $8.99 for the ebook, and we out just like that.